This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Greetings this morning. Welcome to our lesson today. We're certainly glad you've tuned us in. Now, if you would like to contact me, you'll need to get a pencil and a piece of paper out so you can write my website address or my regular mailing address down at the close of the program. Remember, my website does have this program on it. You can re-listen to it there, or you can download it, save it, and forward it to others from there. My website also has a weekly meditation on it, and if you'd like to read that, you can go to the website to read it, or you can be asked to be placed on the free subscription list or the email list for those meditations. I'll be happy to do that. They're sent out usually on Monday morning. As well, you can be placed on the free subscription list for Grace and Truth, the monthly magazine that I publish these meditations in from time to time, and if you'd like to be on that subscription list, then I'll need your name and address. So if you want to contact me, you'll want to get a pencil and a piece of paper out so you can write those addresses down at the close of the program. Today we're continuing in Luke chapter 11, and we're dealing with this matter of prayer. And the first part of the chapter, verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." Now, the next part of the section, or this next part of the chapter, is designed to encourage us to pray, and it's designed to encourage us to believe that God hears our prayers as a father would hear the prayers of his children. Now, we've looked already at what's sometimes called the Lord's Prayer, and we've noted that that's not a prayer that you pray over and over again with the expectation that there's some magical quality in repeating that prayer over and over again. But the prayer has the elements of a good prayer in it. It tells what our heart condition should be and the things that we should pray for. You'll notice that it is a short prayer. Now, as we come down to this section, after the Lord has given us the pattern prayer or the way to pray, he makes the statement in Luke chapter 11 and verse 9, "And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened." Now, I want to deal with that section again from the context of the passage, looking back at what the Lord has said in the previous few verses. After he gives the pattern prayer and before he encourages us to pray in this way and to believe that our prayers will be answered, in verse 5 he says, "And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth." We trust the Lord will bless to us the reading of his word. Now, when the Lord says, "Ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you," he's saying that in the context of this man who went to his friend at a very inopportune time and continued knocking and continued asking until his friend, in a sense to get rid of the nuisance, was willing to provide his needs. And it's that kind of asking that the Lord is talking about. He's not talking about asking about something that we don't need. He's not talking about asking for something that is not in the will of God. He's not talking about asking for something we need and that we earnestly need and that we're willing to earnestly seek God's favor for. And so this prayer of importunity, a prayer that is really the prayer of an obnoxious friend who comes at a time when he ought not to come, an inconsiderate friend, maybe we should say, who comes at a time when he ought not to come, but comes because of his great need and comes with a desire to get his need answered, that kind of a prayer is the kind of prayer that is going to be answered if we ask It's that kind of knocking that's going to be that the Lord's going to respond to if we knock, and this is what it really means to seek. Now, I don't mean to be technical, but there are some things we ask for that we don't need to ask for. And those things have already been provided for us. We just need to thank God for them. And one of them is God's gift of salvation. We do not need to ask God to save us because God has already provided that salvation through the death of his son on the cross. And to ask God to save us would be like getting up on Christmas morning and having all the gifts laid out under the Christmas tree, and to pick up one of those gifts that perhaps one of your parents or brothers or sisters has provided for you. And when you pick it up, you look at it and you say, "Oh, would you please give this to me?" That makes no sense, does it? They've already given it to you. What you say at that point is thank you. And that's the way it is with regard to salvation. Some people seem to think that they need to fervently ask God to save them. You don't need to ask God to save you. He's already died to provide that salvation. But what you need to do is you need to believe God and you need to thank him for saving you. You don't need to ask God for the gift of the Holy Spirit. And I know that that's a little confusing in this passage because the moment you're saved, you get the gift of the Holy Spirit. You don't have to ask God to give you something he's given you. In Ephesians chapter 1, it says, upon believing, you're sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. And again, in Romans 8, it says, if ye have not the Spirit of God, ye are not his. And so the moment we're saved, we have that gift. And we might ask God to guide us so that we don't grieve the Holy Spirit. We might ask him to guide us so that we can be controlled by the Holy Spirit and submissive to the Holy Spirit, but we don't have to ask for the Holy Spirit. And so in this passage, when it says in the earlier part that that the Lord will not will give us the Holy Spirit to those that ask him, see if I can find that reference and read it to you in its context. He says, he that if ye then, in verse 13, he says, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit unto them that ask him? And now we have to interpret that statement in the light of the rest of the scripture. And it's quite clear that when we pray, we're praying in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is interceding for us and is guiding our praying. And really what the Lord is saying is that he's going to give the things of the Holy Spirit, the blessings of the Holy Spirit. He's not going to give us the Holy Spirit because he gave us that the moment we're saved, if we're saved. And if we're not saved, we need to be saved. We need to receive Christ and thank the Lord for dying for us so that we know for sure we are saved. When we ask God for things that he's already given us, we can't really be sure we've gotten them because we have tried to get them on the wrong grounds. When we ask God to save us, when he's already saved us, it's a little confusing. And so we wonder if we've asked right, or we wonder if we believed right. We wonder if we've strived in an appropriate manner, when in fact, the Lord is talking about our needs after we're saved. He's not talking about the matter of coming to Christ in salvation. And so if we are thinking that it's our asking, our believing that saves us, then we'll wonder if we asked right or did right. But salvation is a finished work that we just receive and thank God for. But now that we're saved, the Lord is teaching us how to obtain the blessings of the Holy Spirit which now indwells us, how to obtain those blessings, because the Holy Spirit will actually guide us in our praying. And I think the one who is asking and seeking and knocking in the way that it's talked about here is actually being controlled by the Holy Spirit, and he's asking for things that are in the will of God. If we look at the whole context of Scripture, God is not going to give us things that are not in his will. For example, if we ask for somebody to die because we hate him, he's not going to give us that. That's not a scriptural attitude toward our brother. If we ask for riches that we do not need to consume it upon our lust, James says we're not going to get that. But when there are needs, spiritual needs and physical needs that are in keeping with ask that we that are in keeping with the pattern prayer, give us this day our daily bread, those kinds of things, lead us not into temptation. When we seek and ask with regard to the things that are legitimate, that it's legitimate to ask God for, Bible says he's going to respond. And I wonder if we really believe that. Do you know what kind of prayers are not answered? The kinds of prayers that are not answered are the prayers that are never prayed. And there's many people who do rely on themselves rather than relying on the Lord. And so they don't pray to the Lord. They don't really expect the Lord to pray. And I don't think saying words is praying. I think praying is when we talk to God with the expectation that he's listening, hearing, and responding to us. And so we can pray, as we see here, at the most inopportune times. We can be inconsiderate. We can come to God when we would think that perhaps he's not available. Some people think he's only available when they go into church or before an altar or in some religious environment. But I found out that God's available when I'm driving my car. God's available in the morning when I get up. God's available at night when I go to bed. He's available when I pray formally with my family and with my wife and with the church. And he's available when I pray very informally. He hears those prayers when we are communing with him. And there are times when we have needs that are just great burdens. And when we have those needs that are great burdens, the person to turn to is not ourselves. The person to turn to is not our friends. The person to turn to is not others. It's not people that can help us. The Lord may use people in answering our prayer, but it's the Lord that can help us. And the Bible says, cursed is the man that trusteth in man, that maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. And the person who is praying in the way that the Lord is going to answer is praying to the Lord and striving with the Lord about scriptural felt needs that really need to be answered, and then the Lord will respond to those prayers. And that doesn't mean that if someone's sick, they're necessarily going to be healed, but there's going to be an answer to that prayer, and there's going to be peace about the matter given to the person who does pray. And if it is the Lord's desire to raise a person up on a sick bed, then he will do that, and he'll keep that burden before the person who's praying until the answer does in fact come. And if the answer comes in a way that is not expected, the person will be prepared for that answer, and they'll realize that whatever happened was a true answer to their prayer. So praying is a very important thing, and we need to make sure that we understand that the promise of God is such that if we pray, as the sin-considerate man prayed about needs that the Lord knows we have and that are upon our hearts, then the Lord is going to respond, and we need to believe that. Do we pray? Have we come to Christ and accepted his salvation so that we can pray in the Holy Spirit and see miraculous answers to our prayers? I trust that we know what that's like in our lives, in association with our relationship with the Lord as saved people. Now, our Heavenly Father, I ask thee to bless this lesson, to bless those who have listened, to encourage them to pray. Now, we thank thee for thy love and thy salvation as we commit ourselves to thee in our Savior's name. Amen. Our mailing address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com, bdcministries.faithweb.com, and we do thank you for listening.